Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and this week I am talking about the prosperity gospel. I'm particularly just looking at some quotes, some things that Joel Osteen teaches. I view him as just a representative leader of what we call the prosperity gospel. And I'm not doing this to pick on him. I think there are a lot of good things to say about him. And I don't think that we need to just criticize people all the time. However, I do think it's important to look at what they are teaching and saying, and let's compare it to Scripture and see if what they're saying is true. Because some of these things are so important. I believe God wants you to be prosperous and successful. That's why he's given us the Bible. That's what he says. That's what he promises to us in Joshua 1:8. And so we want to make sure that we're actually following the Bible to get to what God calls prosperous and successful, and not something that might be a different method, a different system. And I think that's what we have in Joel Osteen. So I'm just saying this out of caution because I care about you and want you to be prosperous and successful in your life. So let's just look at a few of these things again, and then again look at Scripture. So here's another quote from Joel Osteen. It says, "It's not enough to simply see it by faith or in your imagination. You have to begin speaking words of faith over your life. Your words have enormous creative power. The moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. This is a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you are saying is good or bad, positive or negative." That's the full quote. That's from Your Best Life Now. Now, once again, this sounds good. This sounds like it has a certain kind of wisdom in it. But let's examine it in light of Scripture to see if this is so, as God encourages us to do repeatedly in his word. First of all, do our words have enormous creative power? Well, it is true that our words can be powerful. They can set a whole forest on fire, is the imagery that James uses. In other words, you can get yourself into a whole lot of trouble quickly with your words. But are they literally full of creative power? No. God's word is full of creative power. We know this because God speaks and he creates all of creation in Genesis 1. That is how he speaks. God said, and then it was so. Our words in the Bible never are described as having creative power. This is, in fact, part of the New Age movement. And a lot of teachings from the New Age movement have just been picked up by different Christian leaders, whether they know it or not. I don't know if Joel Osteen is intentionally doing that, but I would just challenge him. Where does it say in the Bible that your words have creative power? And yet this is a key part of his teaching. It comes up again and again. If you have positive thoughts, if you are speaking positive words, then you will be successful. Then you'll have all these things go your way. You'll have the good parking spot, as he says elsewhere in Your Best Life Now. Let me give you another example of this. He says about Sarah, remember, Abraham and Sarah are very old and they've never had a child. And God comes to them and promises, you will have a son. And actually another 20 years go by and they still haven't had a son. And Abraham thinks, maybe my servant, her son, is supposed to be my son. I'll raise him as my son. And God comes again when Sarah is 90 years old and says, this time next year you're going to have a son. And she does, Isaac. So that's the background of the story. And Joel Osteen comments on that. And he talks about, let me read for you. It says, take Sarah, for example. It took a long time for God to fulfill his promise that she would become pregnant. Why so long? The key to the promise coming to pass was that Sarah had to conceive it in her heart before she was able to conceive it in her physical body. All right, so according to Joel Osteen, the reason why it took Sarah until the age of 90 to have a child was because she couldn't conceive in her heart the faith that she could have a child. And once she did, then God was able to bring about this miraculous birth in her womb. Is that true? Nothing in the Bible would suggest that. Nothing in the Bible would suggest anything like that at all. In fact, I think by the time she's 90, that's when she has the least amount of faith ever that she is ever going to be able to conceive. She laughs when she hears God say, you're going to have a child. And nothing changes about that until after she's going to have a child until after she really can tell that she is pregnant. So there's no shred of scriptural support for this kind of thinking. In fact, the Bible again and again says this is not so. God accomplishes his purpose even when we don't have faith in God. God, for instance, comes and tells Elizabeth that she will have a child, and Zechariah does not believe. And so the angel rebukes Zechariah and says, you will not be able to speak until your son is born, and you will call him John. And so his unbelief is rebuked, but it doesn't mean that she's not going to have a son. God does this again and again. There are people that Jesus heals. There's a man who is lame by the pool in John chapter 5, and Jesus comes and heals him, and the man didn't even know who Jesus was, didn't even know that Jesus was about to heal him. Jesus just does it. God doesn't need your permission to act to accomplish his purposes. God doesn't need you to have great faith before he can do things in your life. Now, sometimes does God call on us to have faith before he will give us certain blessings? Yes, but we can't picture that until we have faith, then God can't act. That's what I think is dangerous here. That's what's unbiblical. And really, it's blame the victim mentality. In other words, if things aren't going right in your life, if you're having tragedy, if you're unable to have a child, if you are unable to get well from a sickness, then it must be your fault. Because according to what Joel Osteen is saying, if you have the faith in your heart, if you're speaking the right words, then this won't happen to you. And so I think that's what's troubling to me in a lot of this teaching is it's just not what the Bible says. Now, when we talk about being prosperous and successful, I believe the Bible promises you can be prosperous and successful. But you need to understand what it looks like. What is success? What is prosperity? I don't think it's about getting the best parking spot every time you go to the grocery store. I don't think that it's about speaking things and thinking things so that you can have those things. One place I would turn to in Scripture is Hebrews chapter 11. This is the chapter of faith. And I'm just going to start reading from verse 32. And you tell me, does this sound like success is being promised? I think it does. It says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again." Now, up until this point, this is a great description of successful people, right? People who did great things for God and his glory. I think that's the key. Not just that they were getting good parking spots, but they were doing great things for God's glory, empowered by God to do these things. But then listen to how this passage continues. I'm just picking right up where I left off in Hebrews 11. Now I'm in verse 35. "There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." You listen to the life they went through. They were not prosperous and successful by the world standards, but God says in his word that they were great in their faith. They didn't receive what was promised in their lifetime, but they receive it now. It's not your best life now. It doesn't mean you're not meant to be prosperous and successful. You are, but it may not look like it compared to what some of the prosperity gospel preachers are saying. We'll pick up here tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.